Good to see you in the Lord's house today on this December morning. I want to draw your attention to Exodus chapter 30 and our call to worship today. We're continuing as we look at God's kindergarten, basically lessons for the people of Israel, teaching them. They're just come out of Egypt. They are learning to know each other in a different setting other than slavery. And God is wanting them to stand up and do what's right, but also to learn how to worship Him. You know, God teaches us in His Word how to worship Him. God's not interested in you coming up with your own plan and being creative. God wants you to follow what He prescribes in His Word. And so what He did with Israel, He didn't say, I want you to be creative and come up with your own way to worship Me. No, not at all. God establishes in His Word how they are to worship Him, how they are to approach Him. And it's very interesting, as we looked at last week, for the men that worked in the tabernacle, Aaron and his sons, that they had a prescribed way in which they were to worship. And if they did not do that, they would die. That's how serious this matter is. You know, the worship of God and its seriousness has not changed with the ages. God is still holy. God is righteous. God is good. And so we need to understand that even though we are living in the day and age of grace, God's holiness has not been diminished. His righteousness has not been diminished. And you and I are to have a seriousness in our hearts as we approach Him. And then in verse 22 of Exodus 30, the Bible says, basically, who may worship? It's the anointed. And throughout this passage, you see the anointing of all of the different things. The tabernacle of the congregation is anointed with this oil. The articles of furniture within the temple are anointed with this oil. Aaron and his sons are anointed with this oil. And then in verse 30, and thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister unto Me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto Me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whoso putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall be cut off from his people. In other words, this anointing was specific to the worship of God. And they were not to try to make this oil and say, oh, that smells good, I think I'll make it. He goes even further in verses 34 through 38 concerning the special oils that were used in the fragrance of the candlesticks and the anointing oils that were used, a special blend of spices and oils, and it was only used in God's worship. Now, what can we take away from that? God desires for people to be consecrated. That's the picture. This anointing oil had to be applied before they worshiped. They were to be set apart for the special task of worshiping God. When you and I gather together on Sundays and we come together to worship the Lord, do we come with consecrated hearts? Where we set apart not just our time and not just our person, but we set apart ourselves spiritually to come together to worship God. That is so important. That's what we mean by consecration. Consecration has the same root word as holy. Same root word meaning to set apart unto God. So when we come together to sing praises, when we're opening our hymn books to sing songs, we are consecrating ourselves to the worship of God. Is it that purposeful in your heart and life this morning? To where every verse of a song you sing are not just words that are flying by and you're saying, you know what, I wonder if I missed a text, and you grab your cell phone to go text that. That's not consecration. That is not consecration. Most of what we call worship today in our churches is not consecrated worship because it's mixed. It's mixed with distraction. It's mixed with what the culture demands. It's mixed with what everybody else is doing. It's mixed with my creativity. It's mixed with all these things. And God said, you're not to mix anything else with My worship. My worship is to be set apart from everything else. It's to be special. It's to be set special. You think about a marriage vow. A marriage vow. We're going to talk about that in the morning worship today as we go back to Matthew chapter 1 to look at the passage concerning the betrothal of Mary and Joseph. That's special. For the Jews, it meant the betrothal time, the engagement time, was for them marriage. It meant I am giving myself to you and to no other. And in the eyes of the law, if they were to go off and be with somebody else, or they were to break the engagement, they were breaking a marriage. It was serious business. It was something that was special. Today, marriage is not special. And so when marriage is not special, we can just marry anybody or anything. And that's the way we've approached worship today in our churches. It's not special anymore. God wants His worship to be special. And it can only be special if it's special in you. Because worship comes from you to the Creator. Do I hear an amen? If it's not special with you, it won't be special with God. If it's not important to you, it will not be important to God. So I encourage you, I implore you, that as we gather together, when you open the songbook to sing, you're worshiping. Are you giving it your all? Are you pouring your heart? Is it special? When we go to the Lord in prayer, is your mind wandering all over the place? Or is it engaged in prayer unto God in worship? Whenever we open our Bibles to hear the Word of God, is it special, or are we daydreaming, or are we thinking of other things, or letting our minds wander about? This is too important. It's too important to allow this time to slip by us. That's the intent and purpose of this passage. This was God's kindergarten manual for Israel. My worship is to be special like nothing else. And so may it be that way in our hearts today.